Mello and the Jonas Brothers before You Love Me. It's 5 minutes past 3 o'clock on Thursday, the 5th of May, 2022. And as promised, from Guadalupe Municipality, the official spokesperson, Sipho Mkhize, is in the studio with me. And as you are aware, there are issues around service delivery with a specific focus on electricity at the moment, because I think I'm correct in saying that in the last 5 days, there have been almost as many power outages unplanned. It just seems to be an ongoing issue and getting worse, if the truth be told. So, Sipho, welcome. Thank you for joining us. I know that there are obviously very important issues around the disaster that's hit the region of late, and power is, I presume, being affected as a consequence to a degree. But let's unpack what is really behind the continuous power outages that we're experiencing in the greater Ballito area.
Thank you very much for inviting us, Dave. Greetings to the listeners of 88FM. One, we have to concede that there's been an issue in the Ballito area, and we are grateful for the opportunity to present that here. Yes, we are coming from a rather unfortunate time where our region was hit by floods, and as you would expect, like all other regions, we were severely affected and we lost a lot of infrastructure in that regard. As we speak in Guadalupe, with regards to electricity, our region of what we've lost is in the region of around 30 million rands, and we are speaking on that issue whilst certain assessments are still being done to ascertain if indeed this amount will be where it is or it will be higher than what it is currently. But with regards to the issues in this region, yes, in as much as we've had the weather issues, the contractors haven't been best behaved in the...
That was the next question I was going to ask you. Is does KDM outsource electrical maintenance in its entirety?
Yes. With regards to that one, it's not the contractors of KDM, but it's an issue that we've had just a bit up north in the Sheffield area, where developers, in particular contractors associated with them in carrying out their works. We know that just down here on the M4, there's a sewer and water connection pipe that's being installed, without mentioning the developers who are doing that by name. So there's an issue that happened there, and in the work that we do, Dave, we expect someone who has done wrong to rectify that, either than, you know, just to bury the issue over.
Yeah, sure, but the question that I'm trying to get the answer to is do you have your own electricians, or when, yes, when there's, yes, a power, yes, outage, do you have to, yes, bring in a contractor?
No, it's twofold. I think in answering, you have to say it's twofold. Yes, we have internal teams, but due to the size of the network and the amount of work that is to be done in terms of new installations and maintenance, and time to time we do source external parties to form a part of the panel of contractors for those works. So yes, we do have contractors that deal with electric street lights. We do have those who deal with infills, that means new connections. We do have those who do the normal maintenance work. So,
and who from the municipality then checks on the work that the contractors are doing to give it a clean bill of health? Because you talked about street lights there for a second. Mm. If you go for a run around Ballito tomorrow morning, you, sure, would be amazed how many streetlights are currently out. It's all-time record high, I
sure,
think.
Sure, sure. No, those are standing issues, Dave, that the council is having discussions about. They are being spoken about at certain levels. I know that the local councillor Tasmin Colley has raised those in the numerous portfolio committees where she participates. And I think it's one of those issues where we say, as an institution, we concede that there are issues on those parts, but work is being done. In the Ballito area alone, I know in the issue that you raise of streetlights, you find in instances where we had a panel of contractors to deal with street lights, specifically the changing of bulbs and what have you, only to go to the actual infrastructure and realize that the underground cabling is no more. We need to fix those, and that doesn't form part of the scope of work that the contractor does. So that lags behind. And then what has dealt a blow with us is that in the beginning of this year, the regulations around how we should be buying, stuff for the government has changed. There's a court case to that regard, which just prolongs things further from what we would have wanted to do. So where we had committees sit and discuss specifications around certain things we wanted to do, those have to be parked so that we then, deal with the High Court decision with regards to how the procurement is done. But
Sipho, surely I know I'm looking at it very naively, possibly, because electricity is not my scope of expertise.
Sure.
But it would appear to me that it's not particularly difficult to replace streetlights that are faulty, or yes, repair cables that are faulty. It's a standard kind of. It's not like rocket science, shall we say? And surely, after this is now, from what I can recall, this issue has been dragging on for at least the past 10 years, and it's been progressively getting worse. Surely, the electrical department in the past 10 years must have identified that this area here, it's quite an affluent area. It attracts a huge amount of interest with regard to tourist revenue, for relocation of lifestyle revenue, etc. And in a sense, we're killing the goose that lays the golden egg, because people are coming here because of the lifestyle. If the lights are out and regularly the power is out, it loses its attraction to a degree. The Western Cape is a hot contender. It always was the number one. Then people started to come to Ballito because what a lifestyle, closer to the smoke, etc. It's turning around, and it's turning around quite. I'm very concerned, because I've heard numerous people saying, you know what, I think it's time now to really start looking at these things with a view to it's not going to get any better. And I'm eternally optimistic. I'm saying it will. But I can't point to any specific reference to show why I think it's going to get better. What would you say to people that after 10 years, and I think it's fair enough, nothing seems to be improving in terms of electricity. We're going to stick to that subject. We could go on to other subjects later, but time is against us. You have an electrical department that underspent its budget by 74 million rand last year, according to the latest figures. And there are these huge issues with regard to service delivery and the mandate to deliver electricity to the consumers that are paying you for the use of the electricity is in the hands of the director of electrical supply and his team, which is a huge part of the salary budget, which is in the region of now 500 million rand. So we're talking substantial money going into this thing. Right. And you know what? If I ran my company like the electrical department is running electricity, I would be fired whether it's by a board of directors, or simply I'd go out of business, because no one would want to do business with me. In a sense, is this not a concern?
Well, I must say, Dave, that Your analysis of the southern region of Kwadukuza is quite fair and correct. I believe that it's the same way we also view it. It's one of our, benchmarks in terms of how we want to see the whole region be. And yes, we concede that there have been issues with regards to electricity provision, and I'm sure that my directors who are responsible for operations do hear the issue you are raising around streetlights. But from where we stand, the master plan is that we will have a new substation in this region. The 144 million you talk about talks to capital projects in the main, so it's not monies we could just easily take from one shelf to the next, because one of the things that this money is supposed to do, Mr. Charles, is that we are supposed to get an interactive system so that our grid is online, because currently everything is manual. You know, we've been the victim of the institutions who inherited and just progressed in that light. So even if we were to have an issue, unless you, Dave, contact the call center, we will never know that there's an issue. So part of the monies that haven't been spent around that, and the issue with that with regards to the interactive system, is that Treasury wants us to improve specifications because they believe that in how we have written them, it will go to the SCADA system. So they say, make it as generic as possible. So those are some of the issues we are facing with regards to the upgrades we would like to implement. Okay. So that,
but surely the job is to get the, keep the lights on. And correct. I understand that you want to improve the system. We all do, and I think everyone will be 100% behind that. But in the interim, while we're planning this new system, no one seems to be paying attention to the fact that the lights are off. And that's the big problem. And I think another issue, if I may, is the fact that the communication is so poor that even you've mentioned the fact that you wouldn't know about the power being out if I didn't phone you. I'm not. I'm just using the example that you quoted. I can't get through to anyone. And this is a constant complaint that people have got is, you know, we know that there are issues. We're not unsympathetic. If you are taken into the confidence, if you like, of the municipalities, guys, we know that there are problems and we're working on them and this is what we're trying to do. And thank you. It's a partnership. Mm. And I think that even the most unreasonable among us would accept that and say, okay, as long as someone is listening and we're talking. But there seems to be no, it's very kind of you to come on air with me today. It's the first time since the big floods took out all the infrastructure here that we've had anyone from KDM giving us an official view. And I just feel that it would be so much more productive if that changed. Don't you think that it would make a huge difference?
Well, it will. Moving forward, I think from the discussions that I've had with the team at the station and how they would want us to work moving forward, I think it's something we've done before. I'm committing on my end to try and improve on that one. We've had a chat with the team at Electricity around how we can get their team in the control room to cascade information, you know, speedily to us, because the questions you are raising, it's not for us to defend ourselves. Where we've done wrong, we must apologize and improve. You are ratepayers in the main, resident second. So if ultimately you aren't happy, I don't think I would purchase my groceries in a supermarket where I'm not happy.
But well, you see, you're quite right. But unfortunately, in this sense, you have a monopoly. There's nowhere else really that we can go at this point in time. But that obviously is that being the situation that it is. One has to accept that. However, at the moment, there is so much unhappiness with the current system, and I think everyone realizes that there's no instant fix, but there is an instant fix with regard to the communication.
Yes, that is the undertaking that I'm making. There are constituents of this area who normally would email me issues directly or raise them through the phone. And we've tried this communication. Perhaps Dokra would attest where issues have been taken to SIPO or his team members at communications. We have given responses, but this is beyond the communications department. Now, hence, I'm saying that I have sat down with the leadership of the business unit concerned and have said, let us create a link between your call center and us at comms so that when there are issues, perhaps not an individual issue where Dave has a concern, but we feel that the issue affects more than one, more than one household in a specific area. Let us be able to get that information so that we can flight it however we can. Perhaps Dave could pick it up from our social media and say,
yes, there are many platforms, and it's quite easy, I think, to tie them all together. And that's first prize with regard to communication. The next question I need to put to you is, you say that there are improvements in the offing, that people need to understand that it's you're making strides towards an improved service. How close are we to seeing results of that?
Well, yeah, you are putting me on the spot, but with regards to the improvements that you are making, obviously we get gradual results. For instance, with regards to the substation that we want to have down here in the south, I've been reliably informed that around about June we should see some activity happen. Unfortunately, with regards to the interactive system, I don't have much information with regards to how far the committees are, but I know that inroads have been made to make sure that the specification meets the desired levels. We are getting advice from others who have a similar system, including eThekwini. But so whilst it might not all be now, but we do believe that having the additional capacity with regards to the substation will alleviate a lot of stress that is in the system following all the developments that have come in after, say, the millennium into Palito. So we will be able to relieve pressure. Yes.
Who controls load shedding in the area?
Well, it's Eskom. And,
but you managed to get them to, because we were scheduled for load shedding yesterday or the day before. Time flies, I can't remember. When we just had literally a sort of 10-hour power outage, and the load shedding didn't happen. There was some speculation that possibly there had been communication between KDM or possibly a higher authority and Eskom to say, listen, we can't load shed on top of this massive outage. Did that happen?
Well, we do communicate, Mr. Charles, with Eskom, and I wouldn't want to say we don't. Even when eThekwini received their exemption following the floods, we wrote to Eskom to say, being the number two most hit region in KZN, could you also relax us? Unfortunately, we were denied because, unfortunately, we didn't lose a certain number of substations that would have equated to so much energy being lost. But we do communicate with
them. So there is a healthy working relationship.
Yes. As you are pointing out, that when the community shared its frustrations around, we've just come out of such a long outage, and now we see these notices. What does it mean? I think they appreciate it, because ultimately, Mr. Charles, the energy we all have comes from Eskom.
Yeah, sure. No, and again, I think there would be a perfect case for better communication. People could have got that message ahead of time, taken a lot of the heat off the boil, so to speak, because there was this mounting anger about, now we're going to get load shed on top of it. And you know, there it is.
No, it's understood.
One final question. The infrastructure that is blowing, you see pictures of equipment that's got, you know, literally blown up and cables. Is there a regularly operative maintenance program in place to replace this old equipment that is continuously blowing?
There is. In fact, I spoke to Director Duma Muhaule yesterday when I was scheduled to come through, but because of some, you know, delays here or there, I had to excuse myself. So I've spoken to him, and there is an item that they will be taking to council that basically talks about the assessment post the floods on items that were readily due for upgrades or servicing, to say to council, look, having seen such a storm, we now feel that where we had made such a recommendation, it's no longer going to work, so we require this. So there will be changes that you see. For now, the outages, because of the ground cabling, specifically in the Palito area, there might be those instances, but we will always work sure to reduce the turnaround times. But in the next 2 years or so, according to the department, we shouldn't be in a position where we are questioning the type of infrastructure we have on whether it was it serviced, or do we think it was, you know, the best amongst the best in the shelf that it was taken from. So I think that the storm has given us a new perspective to a lot of issues, particularly our number one commodity, because I think the community must understand, Mr. Charles, that for us, electricity is the one thing we sell with the hope of really raising revenue. So it's nothing that we want to see collapse as well. Yes, there are glitches here or there. We have said to them, let us clear the silos in terms of communications, because it doesn't help anyone to know that SIPO works in the control room and SIPO is in 90 WhatsApp groups in Guaduguza, but the communications team is not informed to then relay the message to the general public. So that there are those issues, and I feel that now that we've cleared the air between communications and the electricity business unit, we will have some harmony in that respect. But the team has given us an assurance that coming to Life and Style today, they are working on reducing turnaround times and a commitment to say where there are issues. As soon as they are reported, we will be informed as communication, so that we will lead the discussion and we will not necessarily have to respond to so-and-so has said this. Are you sure this is happening? But it's all a lesson. Unfortunately, it has happened in this, type of time we are in, when all have lost, many things, and businesses were just recovering from, life as it were. But we really are trying our best. I can give you that assurance. The team is trying. They've said that I must apologize to all listening and those not listening for not being able to take calls in certain instances. The pressure was beyond them, and accessing our sub mini substations and substations and some of the overhead lines after the storm has become a nightmare, because these facilities are nestled in sugarcane fields in most instances, and it's not roads you regularly drive to. For instance, you have our biggest energy supplier for the grid. Their roads were collapsed, the Avon power picking plant. So now we have to think beyond our region, but think for the national grid at large, to say how does government collectively join hands to make sure that the access routes to the Avon power picking plant are accessed. But the teams are doing their best. I can assure you of that. We understand the frustration.
What I'd like to suggest to you is, obviously, there are many platforms and they're all fantastic. If you have an issue that you would like to communicate, and vice versa, if we've got an open channel of communication, if you use the offices of 88FM to get the message out there, we're digital, we're RF radio and digital, and we're literally able to put that podcast out to the entire community. So that's at least one way of relieving some of the frustration. We're all in this together. Our investment in the economy together is important. It's a private public partnership in everyone's interest to see things improve. I think the mayor is coming to town next Tuesday for the Imbizo, and I think there are going to be lots of questions that she's going to be fielding there as well. I think it's hopefully a new dawn of communication where we no longer see each other as the enemy that must be avoided or fought with. We understand it's not easy, but collectively and together, hopefully going forward, with the money that we are paying to you, you will spend it wisely and get the right guys and girls in the right jobs so that things go smoothly from here. But we'll keep a watching brief, and as I say, the door is open constantly. Thank you for joining me in the afternoon drive.
Thank you.
88FM coming to you live from the center of Belita. My very special guest from Guadaguza Municipality, Sipho Mkhize, communications expert, and we look forward to much more communication going forward.